Imagine spending like $50,000 on this breathtaking AI-generated architectural plan for a massive new commercial complex.
Yeah, that is a huge investment.
Right.
Yeah.
And you take these beautiful photorealistic renderings straight to your lead engineer. They take one look and tell you that the AI completely forgot to include, any plumbing
Yeah.
shafts.
Yeah.
Or worse, the load-bearing walls are mathematically impossible based on the material shown. I mean, it is a gorgeous picture, but a completely useless, potentially dangerous building.
Yeah, it is the absolute definition of generative spectacle. You get an output that looks incredibly convincing to the human eye, but underneath the surface, it is completely untethered from physical reality or, structural logic.
Exactly. So, welcome to the deep dive. Our mission today is to tackle that exact problem because we hear this endless hype about how AI is going to revolutionize business operations, right?
Oh, constantly.
But when you actually try to apply it to your daily workflows, it often feels like staring into a messy, unpredictable black box.
Yeah, it's a nightmare for most managers.
It really is. So, we are unpacking a blueprint today, drawn from the framework and structured layer, to show you how to turn AI from a chaotic liability into a highly controlled, data-driven tool.
Which is absolutely essential.
Right. We are going to explore the core concepts of data architecture, look at a high-stakes case study in the construction industry, and give you actionable steps to safely deploy AI in your own operations.
Because deploying AI without a rigorous underlying structure is, well, it's just asking for operational failure.
Yeah.
The intelligence of the model literally doesn't matter if the environment it operates in is chaotic.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we can talk about AI generating amazing 3D worlds or automating your customer service emails, we have to talk about the absolute bedrock foundation.
Right, the data.
You simply cannot build a smart output on top of chaotic data. The workflow to make AI actually functional is it's a linear progression, and you cannot skip steps.
No, you really can't. The pipeline always starts on the far left with trusted inputs. Those inputs flow into your data layer, which feeds a workflow layer, which then powers your AI and automation layer before finally, and this is key, arriving at human approval.
So it always ends in the person.
Always. But the heavy lifting, and honestly where most businesses fail, happens entirely in that data layer. It requires this meticulous, standardized categorization of your records before the AI is even allowed to process a single command.
Let's get really specific about what that normalization looks like, especially when we are dealing with physical spaces in the heavy industry. It's obviously much more than just like saving a spreadsheet in the correct shared folder.
Oh, significantly more. Yeah. To have a trusted workflow, your data layer needs unique, unbreakable identifiers across all systems.
Like what?
Like assigning, say, PRJ0007 to a specific build so the AI never confuses it with PRJ0008.
Got it.
It requires standardized asset classifications. And crucially, if you are dealing with a physical environment, it needs exact coordinates. We are talking about aligning site and survey models using mapping systems like EPSG.3857.
Okay, wait. EPSG.3857. I want to pause on that because that sounds intensely technical.
It is a bit, yeah.
That is essentially a Webb Mercator projection, right? Like pinning the digital data to the exact geographic geometry of the Earth.
Exactly. That spatial mapping is non-negotiable. Because if you just feed an AI the dimensions of a high-rise without pinning it to the Earth's
It
geometry,
just floats.
yeah, the model might render a beautiful building hovering 200 feet in the air. Or, more dangerously, it might place the foundation intersecting a major municipal water main because it doesn't understand the physical context of the site.
Wow. Which means the AI also needs to be fed at what are called approved models.
Right.
We're talking about BIM and IFC deliverables here.
Yes. And let's clarify those terms for anyone outside of construction.
Please.
BIM stands for Building Information Modeling. So instead of a traditional 2D blueprint that just shows, flat lines on paper, BIM is a three-dimensional database.
So it looks like the building.
It looks like a building, but every single digital element is packed with real-world data. And IFC, or Industry Foundation Classes, is basically the universal language format that allows different software platforms to share that complex BIM data without losing the details.
And the details go down to like the molecular level with these things called metadata chips.
Yes, the metadata is everything.
So a wall inside this data layer isn't just a visual gray rectangle. It is tagged with specific chips telling the system the material is poured concrete, the fire rating is 2 hours, The load class is A.
Precisely. Plus, you need a pristine history of revisions, strict role-based permissions, and source references, so every piece of data is traceable back to the original engineering documents.
Okay, I have to push back here.
Sure.
Because I am listening to this massive list of prerequisites, and I'm thinking, isn't the entire selling point of AI that it's supposed to organize our messy data for us?
A lot of people think that, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like, why on earth are we doing all this intense prep work? It feels a bit like hiring a world-class genius chef and then forcing them to meticulously sort and label every single grain of rice and every pinch of salt before you let them actually cook anything.
That's a great analogy.
Like, shouldn't the genius chef just know what to do with the ingredients?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the chef analogy perfectly highlights the misunderstanding most organizations have about artificial intelligence.
That was so.
The AI is not the chef. You, the human expert, are the chef.
Then what is the AI?
The AI is a hyper-advanced, ridiculously fast food processor.
Okay.
If you throw in rocks, dirt, and a couple of carrots, it will blend them together at lightning speed, but it is going to serve you toxic sludge.
Right, because it doesn't know the difference.
Exactly. The AI doesn't inherently know what a wall is in the physical world or that fire ratings matter for human survival. It just recognizes statistical probabilities in the data you feed it.
So without trusted context, we don't have a trusted workflow. If it doesn't have those exact parameters, it hallucinates to fill in the blanks.
That is the core mechanism of a hallucination. When it lacks structure, it guesses. That is why the governing rule of this system is controlled tools plus trusted context plus human authority. The processor requires bounded parameters to function safely.
So we are basically building a reinforced sandbox before we let the AI play in it.
Exactly.
Let's take this out of the abstract and look at a massive real-world business application, like the architecture, engineering, and construction industry, or AEC.
The stakes are incredibly high there.
Here's where it gets really interesting. They are using this highly structured data to have AI help build editable 3D worlds inside Unreal Engine.
Yeah, and Unreal Engine is a wildly powerful 3D creation tool. It was originally famous for building high-end video games and, you know, virtual sets for film production.
Right, like The Mandalorian.
Exactly. But heavy industry has adopted it to create digital twins of real-world spaces.
But the output here isn't just the AI generating a flat, unchangeable picture of a city, like you'd get if you typed a prompt into Midjourney or DALL-E.
No, not at all.
The output is bounded, it's editable, and it is entirely inspectable. Instead of just pressing a button and hoping for the best, the system uses a very procedural sequence of constraints to keep the AI from going rogue.
Right, because to prevent hallucinations, you have to restrict the AI's toolset.
Okay.
You don't give it infinite digital clay and tell it to sculpt a building. You give it a highly curated box of approved tools.
Like what kind of tools?
Tools like create, parcel, extrude, and subdivide. Think of it as handing the AI a specific set of Lego bricks. It can only build using those approved blocks based on strict spatial logic.
But the AI still needs to know how high to build or what shape to make it, right? It needs constraints.
And that is where the trusted context flows in from the data layer. The prompt isn't something vague like design a cool city block. The instructions are rigid mathematical constraints. The maximum height is capped at 75 meters. The street setback must be exactly 3 meters. The floor-to-floor height is 3.6 meters, and the zoning use is strictly mixed-use commercial.
So it's essentially a highly technical architectural brief translated into code.
Yes.
Which leads to the real magic trick of this whole process. The outputs remain entirely editable. When the AI generates this environment, every single element maintains its hierarchical structure.
Yeah, if you click on a generated building inside this environment, you don't just see a cluster of pixels.
You see the data.
Exactly. The interface reveals all those metadata chips we talked about. You see the identifier, building B27. You see its exact calculated height. You see its floor area ratio. The data remains entirely transparent.
Which brings us back to the human loop. Because a person can review that inspectable output, find a flaw, or explore a new idea, change the parameters, and hit regenerate.
Right. It's iterative.
If the human reviewer says, let's see the financial impact, if the street setback is 5 meters instead of 3, they just adjust the numerical input, and the 3D environment updates instantly.
And this approach champions the philosophy that inspectable output matters far more than generative spectacle. A beautiful rendering is useless to a developer if they can't prove how it was made, verify its exact dimensions, or edit its properties.
Yeah, you can't build off a pretty picture.
No. Control generation beats black box magic every time when millions of dollars are on the line.
So generating a procedural 3D city is technically impressive. But how is this actually deployed to save a construction firm time or money?
Well, the fastest return on investment comes from applying this to narrow, highly visual workflows rather than, you know, asking the AI to design a whole skyscraper from scratch.
Makes sense.
Early master planning is a perfect example. An AI can rapidly explore dozens of different layout schemes, building massings, and site relationships based on the city's zoning data.
So it's doing the grunt work.
Exactly. A developer can evaluate 10 mathematically viable options in the time it used to take a human team to manually draft just one.
I found the application for construction logistics incredibly compelling.
Oh, it's game-changing.
Because construction sites are dangerous, chaotic dances of heavy machinery, cranes, material deliveries, and hundreds of workers.
Yeah, there's so much going on.
But with this system, you use a timeline slider. You can slide the interface to, say, week 18 of the project, and the 3D environment dynamically updates to show you exactly what the physical site will look like on that specific date.
Right. You see where the rebar staging areas are. You see the overlapping swing paths of the tower cranes. And you see which access routes are temporarily blocked by concrete pours.
You isolate potential hazards in a completely safe, editable, digital environment before anyone ever puts steel-toed boots on the physical ground.
And it goes even further. Once the physical building is finished, the AI helps power the digital twin interface.
Tell me about that.
You connect live data from the physical sensors in the real building back into the 3D model. The model becomes a dashboard monitoring real-time metrics.
Wow.
Yeah. Showing energy use per square meter, say 245 kilowatt hours, or live water consumption at 112 liters. It becomes a living, breathing, operational tool.
This raises an important question, though, because as these visualizations become more photorealistic, we run into a very dangerous psychological trap.
Oh, absolutely. The danger of assuming an environment is structurally sound just because it looks finished.
Right. A highly detailed rendering is deeply persuasive to the human brain.
It is.
We fall back into the generative spectacle problem. The lighting is beautiful, the textures on the brickwork are perfect, but the AI didn't actually calculate the wind shear or the load-bearing columns.
And that's terrifying. When stakeholders, whether they're investors, clients, or junior designers, mistake an AI visualization for a final product, the business takes on massive liability.
Because it's not real yet.
Exactly. An AI-generated environment, no matter how detailed, is never automatically an approved design. The editable output generated by the processor never replaces professional judgment.
It does not replace rigorous engineering calculations, code compliance checks, planning approvals, or cost validation.
No. The human holds the license, the liability, and the ultimate authority, always.
That human authority is non-negotiable?
Completely non-negotiable.
So we've explored how multinational construction firms use this technology to build skyscrapers safely. But how do you, the listener, apply this underlying philosophy to your own daily business operations?
Right, bringing it back home.
Yeah, because even if you aren't rendering digital twins in Unreal Engine, how do you fix the messy black box in your own office?
Well, the exact same principles scale down to any operational workflow. It all comes back to your fundamental data strategy.
Looking at the structured layer framework, we can extract three core pillars for a data strategy that any business can implement. Step one is implementing controlled tools. That means restricting your AI to use only approved software and models. You cannot let your team use random, unvetted web-based AI tools for sensitive company tasks.
Right. And step two is establishing trusted context. The AI should only draw from project-approved data.
So no open internet scraping.
Exactly. If you have an AI agent drafting a contract, it shouldn't be scraping the open internet where it might pull outdated tax laws or, you know, a competitor's pricing model. It needs to look only at your internal verified document library.
And step three is enforcing human authority. You need named human reviewers. In the construction industry, those review roles are highly specialized, like architects, structural engineers, or VDC specialists.
And VDC stands for Virtual Design and Construction. Those are the professionals who manage these complex digital models and ensure they align with the physical build.
But in your business, that designated reviewer might be the senior editor, the lead developer, or the compliance officer.
Yeah, whoever holds the expertise.
Every AI action must pass through a specific human gateway.
And this framework becomes critical when you shift focus toward deploying AI agents for daily business automation.
Because everyone is selling those now.
Oh, software vendors are heavily pushing these autonomous AI agents for customer service, logistics, data entry. But before you purchase a license for a new automation platform, you must clearly define the job.
The rule is define the job before you choose the agent.
Right.
To bound an AI agent safely, there are four sequential bottlenecks you have to map out.
Yep.
So if you are building a bot to handle client emails and update your CRM, your customer relationship management system, the very first bottleneck you hit is its field of vision. What is the agent allowed to read?
You must limit its inputs. You cannot plug it into the main company server and let it just ingest everything.
Right.
You restrict it to a specific shared email inbox, a dedicated customer portal, or specific fields in your ERP.
An ERP being your enterprise resource planning system, right?
Yeah.
The massive database running your inventory, payroll, and supply chain.
Exactly. Keep the AI out of the broader ERP. Point it only at the data it needs to perform its specific task.
The second bottleneck is system access. Which platforms does it actually have the credentials to interact with? It operates with bounded access, never holding the master keys to the kingdom.
Right. And then the third bottleneck defines its physical actions. What is it allowed to draft, recommend, or update?
You have to establish clear boundaries.
Yeah, like, can the agent draft a response to a customer complaint? Yes. Can it hit send on that email without human review? No.
Can it update a customer's shipping address in the CRM based on an email? Yes. Can it alter their billing rate? Absolutely not.
Which leads to the final bottleneck, establishing the exact moments the agent must stop and ask a person for approval.
The pause points.
You map out the non-negotiable pause points in the workflow. The quality and safety of the AI agent depend entirely on the clarity of the job you designed for it.
So what does this all mean for you tomorrow morning when you sit down at your desk?
Good question.
It means you shouldn't try to build an autonomous virtual department overnight. Don't try to automate your entire customer service branch or, you know, completely overhaul your logistics pipeline in one go.
No, that's a recipe for disaster.
The practical first step is to launch one controlled pilot.
Start small, learn the friction points, and prove the value.
Define a very narrow use case. Have an AI agent draft summaries of client meetings based only on your CRM notes, or use it to visualize one specific bottleneck in your supply chain.
And set measurable acceptance criteria up front so you know exactly what success looks like.
And ensure professional human review happens before any data moves downstream. Useful pilots start with clarity, not autonomy.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it validates a fundamental truth about adopting new technology. Processing power is only valuable when it is applied safely.
Yeah.
A hyper-fast AI is a marvel, but structured data, rigorous boundaries, and human domain expertise are your absolute best defenses against being seduced by generative spectacle. The AI is a tool, not an autonomous employee.
It is the difference between playing with a novelty toy and utilizing a precision instrument.
Well said.
The secret to integrating AI into your business isn't finding the smartest, most autonomous black box model on the market. It is about looking inward, creating the most structured, trusted data layer possible, and keeping your human experts confidently in the driver's seat.
You curate the data, you set the rules, you review the output.
But it does leave me with one final slightly provocative thought to chew on.
Oh, okay, let's hear it.
We have spent this entire deep dive talking about bounding the AI, restricting its field of vision, forcing it to only use approved historical data, and making it follow incredibly strict rules.
All designed to eliminate errors and hallucinations.
Right. But if we strictly limit our AI agents to only what has been historically approved...
Wait, I see where you're going with this.
How does a business ever achieve truly disruptive, out-of-the-box innovation? Think about it. If perfect data compliance eliminates all the operational errors and hallucinations, does it also eliminate the unexpected happy accidents that historically lead to human genius?
Oh, that's fascinating.
If we put a high-performance sports car on a perfectly straight, concrete-walled track, it will never crash. But the driver will also never discover a new road.
That is the defining tension of the next decade, isn't it? Finding the balance between demanding absolute operational control and leaving room for generative discovery.
It really is. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you walk away looking at your own business workflows through this new, highly structured lens. Unpack that black box, organize your data, and we will see you next time.